Hey, Peter.
Brian, I don't want to sit around and do our usual banter because we have an extensive interview with Chris Heisler of...
You mean Chris Weston?
That's what I call him.
That's we'll what everybody
out,
calls
We'll find
him.
Out why we call him that, because he does work for Weston Hotels as the Run Weston concierge. We're going to find out what that's all about.
He's the conciergist-iest of all of them.
So I don't want to sit here and dilly-dally about, but you ran a half marathon this weekend.
I did.
Congratulations.
I ran the Mount Desert Island half. Thank you very much.
Sub two, baby.
Yeah, I ran it in the time I was supposed to. I had some emotional issues, which we'll talk about during the interview.
Yep.
But upon reflection at this remove, I can tell you I really ran the race that I should have, and I'm glad for it.
Well, I'm proud of you. Can I quickly, before we go on to speak with Chris of Run Weston, can I quickly tell you what I was doing while you were doing a half marathon?
Yeah, what were you doing, Peter? We didn't have any contact at all.
No, on Sunday, while you were mid-half marathon, social media guru Anna Brooks and I got together for a coffee to discuss some social media campaign strategy. And I was at her kitchen table, and I was finishing off a cup of coffee and a blueberry scone.
Delish.
Delish. And I heard a crack. And I said, Anna, I think, and I apologize, I think I may have just broken your chair here in the kitchen.
Ooh.
And she said, do you think so? I said, yeah, I think maybe I snapped a wooden dowel or something because I heard a very distinct crack. She said, okay, well, that's not a problem. Those are old chairs. It's fine. And as she said and gave me permission by saying it was fine, I then proceeded to collapse the entire chair with my giant non-running body. And I fell straight through it.
No.
I shattered the thing.
The legs collapsed underneath you and
the whole thing went
down.
And I did go straight down because she lunged forward to try to help me. And I'm going to say that running saved my life because I think if I wasn't even in the modicum of shape that I am right now, I probably would have died. It's probably the kind of incident that would kill a lesser man. So while you were doing a half marathon, I was breaking furniture with my weight.
Wide army.
Wow.
Yeah, and I wanted to share that with you and everybody else.
Boy, I hope you took a picture of the chair.
I put it all in the trash for her, actually.
Well,
the next
nice.
Day was trash day, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go listen, see what Chris has to tell us about a more active lifestyle than perhaps my own.
No chair breaking.
No chairs were broken during the recording of the show.
Technically, my business card says The Run Weston, not The. It says Run Weston Concierge.
Yeah, there's no The. Lose the article.
Or, I mean, we Director, Elder, Statesman will be the next
for
business card.
For people tuning in for the very first time who don't understand anything that we've just said, can you tell us what a Run Concierge does?
Well, a Run Concierge is actually a little bit different than my role because we have about 200 of them.
Okay. Were you once a Run Concierge?
No.
Never?
No.
Is that true?
True.
So the program started with you?
Incorrect.
Okay.
The program started about 5 years before me. There are about 30 Run Concierges around the country. Grand Central, Weston Copley. Those Run Concierges would lead a run for guests about twice a week at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay.
So if you're staying at the Weston Copley, it's a team of 10 now. They will lead a run two times a week for guests. It does very well here. Peachtree does very well. Chicago does well. Some cities just seem to flourish with guests who want to go for a run with a Run Concierge.
Okay.
Now there are 200 of them. When they hired me, it was sort of to give more life to the program. So if we have one person that can sort of oversee the program, almost be a spokesperson for it, can you do that? So they did a... That's the
had you known about it before you the job opportunity came up?
No. My wife saw the job posting on Facebook. It was listed as this runner's world called it the dream job for a runner.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, though.
It's a lot of fun.
But let's talk about your role, though, because I imagine your role as then sounding maybe a little bit more administrative than people might think.
A tad. It's, you know, I have to make sure the run concierges around the country are motivated and you know they volunteer at the end of the day. So it is interesting. Our call centers are now getting phone calls from people who want to apply to be a run concierge, which is great. I mean, the awareness is out there, but they have to be a full-time employee at Weston. And then you basically volunteer 2 hours a week to be a run concierge.
But your role, when it was being filled, was the job for Weston.
Yes, correct. Oh, so
that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So that's like this.
So you really have like the golden ticket.
It was great. I mean, it was a hard process. I'm not going to lie. The interview, the national search, I sort of applied on a whim. My wife just encouraged me to. I thought it was a PR stint. And I got this email saying it's narrowed down to 10. I'm like, oh, all right, what do I got to do now? Right. So we had 4 days to make a video that really showed why we were the right candidate. And just so happens I have some background in editing and film. And the fourth day of the application, this thing was due, I was running the Vermont Mad Marathon. So I figured, how many of the other 9 applicants are actually running a marathon the 4 days this video is due? Mm-hmm. So I made my video really revolve around that I practice what I preach.
That's awesome.
So, and then it got down to 5, then 3, and here we are 3 years later. Very fortunate.
And was the intent to have you located here in Boston, or it didn't make a difference?
I lived in Boston, and definitely the job did say you will work from home, but you travel a lot.
Okay.
I'm on the road quite often.
So talk about the travel, because I know there's a connection with the Rock and Roll Marathon series and Weston and the Run Weston program, but you obviously do other travel too. So what's a month like for
the
you, Chris?
Majority of travel is with Rock and Roll. So we are the preferred, Weston is the preferred partner of the Rock and Roll Marathon series. So the job sends me to just about this past year. This year will be about 18 Rock and Roll races. Some of them I run, some of them I race. The first 2 years I would go to the city early to run the course, like a concierge, taste food at restaurants. I wanted to really feel each course to give better tips. Some of the job now puts me on the press truck and I'll do commentary watching the race, which has been a lot of fun, really learning how the elites do it. So that's about 18 of the weekends. Outside of that, I might do a couple PR trips. I'm trying to think of where I went to. So Punta Cana, like a new Weston open up in Punta Cana.
Yeah.
Chris, can you go to Punta Cana? That was really a tough one to say yes to. So I went to Punta Cana.
Nice.
Just to help really show the press how we're trying to really practice what we preach with wellness. So there's stuff like that pops up. And then there's like summits for, you know, every company has, we got to come to this national summit where we get all the team together, that kind of stuff.
Have you seen an increase in people choosing Weston because of the Run Weston program? I mean, are there people, business travelers or regular travelers who are make Weston their hotel because of this program?
Yeah, in fact, 2 weeks ago I was in New York for a press, not press, this was like a run with the Self magazine. And we, on Thursday morning, I did a run with our run concierge, Sean, from Weston Times Square, and Jared Ward, who was nice enough to show up. And one of the guests who came down in the morning was like, look, I got to be honest with you. I hate Times Square. There's not a single good hotel in Times Square. I don't even like this hotel. I'm like, all right, well, what do you want me to do? No, I won't stay anywhere else now. Why not? Because Sean. I run with Sean now.
Oh, right.
So that defines
Exactly. We're seeing more loyalty. Mm-hmm. We're seeing these relationships build between our run concierges and guests. And that's, to me, the most important. If you're on the road as a consultant, and all of a sudden every Tuesday, you know, you're going to run with Paul from Weston Georgetown.
It makes a little bit
more of like a home.
Yeah.
Like you're going to leave your family, but I know I'm going to see Paul again. That, there's something very nice about walking to a hotel, and the front desk might know you, but when you know the runner there,
right,
what you share with someone over a run, as you guys well know, a little bit different.
And the nice thing is that it's a relationship built on something very healthy, because it's very easy to get to know bartenders in various cities and various hotels.
But how often do you remember that bartender?
Right. But looking forward to a morning run with the run concierge is fantastic.
Is the program's target, do you feel, elite runners? Or are you trying to cast a wide net and anyone who has an active lifestyle should consider a Weston stay?
It's not just runners. I mean, obviously my specialty is to really, how do we do a better job taking care of runners on the road?
Yeah.
But everybody's a runner. If you run, you're a runner, right? I stand by that. Yep. So at the end of the day, what I want you to know, if you're listening to this as a runner, that if you're going to travel to a race, my best bet is that there's no other hotel that gets you better for race weekend than we do.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
And if I'm wrong on that, then you email me. Or you send me a tweet and you tell me why we sucked.
Right.
Because that is great intel for me.
So there's the accountability right there. You have someone.
You got a direct concierge.
Right.
You'd be like, dude, there was breakfast didn't open on time. There was no coffee in the lobby the way they said there were. You know, I didn't get a late checkout the way that. Tell me.
Where are my eggs?
Yeah. Tell me these things because that's the only way our program gets better and round and sharp and consistent, right? And I'll be on the road sometimes and I see it myself. And all right, we got to step up a little bit here, right? So this is by no means a perfect program and we're getting there. But having now 200 run concierges around the globe certainly helps.
That's big.
Yeah, more eyes.
And do you think in the running culture it's a known quantity now, or is it the secret still being kept?
I actually don't think it's that out there yet. I think we're starting to get in that snowball effect. If people are starting to email me, how do I get hired, calling our call centers, third year now in the job, we are definitely noticing more of an awareness. Mm-hmm. Once the awareness gets to where I think it could be, well, then you got to make sure you hit the expectation.
Right.
So it's this sort of interesting caveat where I want everybody to know about it, but that means that once we have that awareness, we better be knocking out of the park.
Well, my mom's going to know about this by the end of the week.
What's your mom's name?
Jean. You can say hi to her.
Hey, Jean.
And she only listened for about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
She well, we just started.
On. We only just started. So yeah, she's in early, so okay. She's out. That's good. But yeah, we're going to, I think after this podcast goes live, you're going to see the uptick.
That'd be nice.
Am I right, Brian?
It's going to be a wave.
I mean, I just hope your social media is ready for it. I don't know. Can we break Twitter?
Yeah. Well, we've done
I'm
going to
get so much hate mail after this.
No.
2 years ago, I stayed at this West.
Hey, you put it out there, though. I mean,
I want it.
That's the way to get better, right?
That is the way to get better.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Now, you've mentioned, of course, running, but you've put it more in a healthy lifestyle context. Are there other elements of Run Weston or the way that you're approaching this program that are larger than going for a run with the concierge?
I think that's the growth. So Weston is not just a running hotel. It's a wellness hotel. So we have six pillars of wellness. Move well, eat well, feel well, work well, play well, sleep well. If my VP is listening,
that's pretty good. Nailed that. And I'm really
there were no edits in there.
No,
that was
we
didn't. Perfect.
Thank you.
Nice, Chris.
And I want to know more about sleep well.
So sleep well is just our heavenly beds, right? I mean, you're going to have a great sleep.
We're lying in one right now.
So I think the growth is, if you check into a Weston, that we're not only going to give you options for a good run. You want a good yoga studio? We actually have this great one down the street. And our run concierge is the one who's responsible for vouching for these places. Okay. So Erin, who you guys met before the podcast, she's going to run with Heartbreaker, the Heartbreak Hill Running Company tonight.
Yep.
Okay, so if I'm a guest at Weston Copley and it's freezing in December and I want to go somewhere cool to run, well, then Aaron's going to say, oh, go see Dan at Heartbreak Hill Running Company. He will give you a great workout. That's the growth. That it's not just how do we keep people in our hotels. We're giving them options outside, where to eat healthy foods, where to practice good yoga, a good cycling studio, from a local standpoint. I think the demand for a traveler, myself included, is to not always go to the same old coffee shop in a different city. Give me the local one.
Yeah.
And maybe the local one's owned by a really good triathlete.
Right.
Right? And only we know that. Oh, he's a good guy. He used to be a 225 marathoner. Really good local shoe store. You should check it out. That's good intel.
That's what I love about having become a more frequent runner over the years is that it's really the best way to explore a city you've never been in before.
They have a feel.
Yeah.
Every city has a feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see things you would never see in a car or get. You also get a way better feel for the geography, too, of where things are situated related to everything else.
Yeah, I'd like to think I wouldn't get lost as much as I still do, but I mean, every city, I'm like, I've already been here. I was just in Phoenix, and I have no clue where I am right now. Is that Camelback or is that Camelback? I still get lost. It's kind of pathetic.
How does someone, when you stay at a hotel and you see the concierge, you know where they are because you go to the, and you say, hello, hi, concierge, I need a restaurant, I need this. When someone comes and is focused on this aspect, how do they find that concierge for running?
Great question. So only 60 of our properties have a run concierge. There you can go to my blog and see where they are, or you can say through Twitter, hey, I'm going to the Weston Kierland in Arizona for a week. Do you have a run concierge here? Yes, we do. I'll put you in touch.
Oh, okay.
I mean, honestly, it's almost a filter system. If you have questions, just reach out, or you can go to my blog, call the property. Do you guys have a run concierge there?
Gotcha.
They will
tell
you.
Is that the one in Scottsdale?
Yes, it is.
I've done that run on the little placard.
With our run concierge, Jesse, or no?
Not with the run concierge, but I got the placard. I did the run, and then you come back and you tube down the lazy river. Very refreshing.
Haven't been there yet.
Yeah,
so Brian's well.
You want to go to Scottsdale.
Okay. I mean, I've been to Scottsdale. I just didn't have that experience.
Again, I've been in a heavenly bed. I'm not the only one off to the side here. I've done it. I laid down. They're really good. I was on Roadshow. I know.
You did a lot of traveling.
Yeah, I was with Antiques Roadshow for a while, so we did. We stayed in a lot of Westins.
Huh.
They're good hotels.
Proud to work for them.
I'm glad you do.
I mean, I wouldn't be this passionate about them if I didn't think it was a good brand.
I think you would be, but I'm glad you work for them.
Yes.
I'm glad we're in one right now.
Chris, we want to take this podcast on the road. That's really what we're talking about today.
Yeah, we have 60 specific cities we'd like to stay in and do podcasts.
And talk to 200 different people. Could we do that?
Yeah. Let's talk.
Is there a way to do that? So, Chris, what was the last race you ran in?
That I raced?
Mm-hmm.
I raced the Rock and Roll Philly.
Okay, that was
September.
About a month ago?
Yeah, really humid day. Crazy humid. Sticky.
And what was the last race you were at?
Last weekend, 2 days ago, I was in Denver. I'm starting to have that thing where you wake up and sometimes, like, it's fun actually. You wake up in a bed.
You can
say
last weekend. It's Thursday now when we do this.
So. Oh, last weekend. It was Denver.
Okay.
And I sat on the back of the press truck for that race with Neely Spence Gracie.
Oh, wow. Is that fun?
It was amazing.
That must have been
fun. That's a really fun part of the job that I didn't know was coming when I got hired, was to develop these friendships and relationships with some of these elites.
Mm-hmm.
I just think as a sport, we need to do a better job of supporting them and knowing who they are. So that is part of my own personal platform within the brand of Westin. And they just have such a different way of looking at running and what we can learn from them. It never ceases to amaze me.
Do you have an example of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Neely, I met her about a month ago in Philly, and we hung out for a little bit, and she taught me the coffee taper.
Okay, let's talk about the coffee taper, because it's a terrifying prospect. I've done it once, nothing related to running. I tried going off of coffee for a week.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's an Alec Baldwin, Jerry Seinfeld move right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm a good company.
I drank
then.
Decaf instead for a week, and I did make it for 1 week. I tried to go for a month, and that Saturday, it was a 75-degree day. By 11 o'clock in the morning, I was back in bed, lying in bed. I couldn't do anything. So I got up, went downstairs, said, this coffee diet is done.
I don't know.
I made one little cup of coffee, and I went from the Grinch to whatever the opposite of the Grinch is.
The Santa end of the Claus. Movie. Grinch. Yes. He has a revelation.
It's the same Grinch. My heart only his heart three grew sizes. Three times. Yeah, three sizes.
And I bounced around all day in the happiest manner ever. So, right, the coffee taper may work,
okay.
But...
Stop, hold it.
No, hold on. But you're already going to be tapering for the race, which is its own kind of mental anguish. So you're just piling on. Chris, I hope you're going to be on the other side of the country from your family while you're doing this.
What is the coffee taper?
Let's take out the word diet.
Thank you.
Not
That's
a coffee
scary.
Diet. It's a coffee taper, which Neely talked to me about. Her coach, Steve Magnus, who wrote the book, The Science of Running, pretty smart dude.
Might know a thing, Brian.
It may be just, well, he just reinforced it. That's the irony of what you just, the story you just told us, is reinforced the coffee taper. So
it worked.
Okay, so I'm going to race Rock and Roll Vancouver on Sunday.
Is this imaginary or real?
No, for real.
Oh, okay. Because for me, it's imaginary. Oh,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm flying to Vancouver. I will be racing the half on Sunday. So starting tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days is what you need for an effective coffee taper. I will then drink a cup of coffee about 2 hours before that race.
Oh my,
that'd
be
glorious.
And
in the same way that Brian wanted to jump through the roof as a Grinch with three hearts,
I would like to jump
through the start line with the benefit of three hearts pumping a lot of blood in and tear up the city. So I'm not worried about like the emotional toll of tapering, because this is not my major race. This is like a preparing race.
Right.
Like, this is, I'm going to practice the taper. So nothing new was on race day in December.
Have you done this?
No.
You've never done this?
No, that's why I'm.
This is a practice.
So my real big marathon is in December, December 10th.
What's that?
That's Huntsville, Alabama, the Rocket City Marathon.
So
that's
that
a competing,
same,
a marathon on the same day.
Same day, I'll be running.
Hold on.
On
what are you going to be running?
Where's the finish line? Which way to the finish line?
You can't get there from here.
The Millinocket Marathon.
The famous Millinocket Maine Marathon.
The second annual Millinocket Maine Marathon.
Wow. I thought mine was going to be more abstract, but you just kind of knocked it out of the park.
Mine's going to be colder.
Potentially. We never know. It's 80 degrees right now.
That's true.
It's going to be colder.
You don't know what the weather's going to be.
It's going to be colder.
You're going to be in Alabama. I'm going to be in northern Maine.
Well, good luck. We should have a little wager or something. Who can get closer to their expected finish time?
What I love, we have a thing on Facebook called Sat Stat Chat, Saturday Stats. Mm. So everyone sends in their Saturday stats.
Okay.
So that on December 10th, I'm going to be with you, but you guys need to both throw up your stats on Saturday.
That's fine. You're going to coffee taper?
He's not going to coffee taper. No, because I have to drive out with him in a car.
Am I going
to
verbal on a coffee taper right
now?
No,
please don't. Please don't. Because I have to be in the car with you for 7 hours driving up there on the Friday before. I'm going to be drinking a lot of coffee, so please don't.
7 hours?
Coffee taper.
Yeah.
God, please don't.
But you got to practice it. Like, no. I'm not going to go into my race without having, I need to experience the coffee taper.
And are you a big time coffee drinker?
Yeah, I love coffee.
Every day?
Oh, yeah. Right. I got two kids. I didn't drink any coffee until my son was born 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't sleeping, and I was like, I need something. And my wife's like, try this.
That's how it starts.
Try this elixir.
How do you take it?
Black.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Really taste it?
Maybe like a drop of milk.
Maybe.
But that's about it.
Maybe in the iced.
Yes, correct.
That's interesting. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, how did we get here?
Neely Spence.
Thank you.
Yep. So she tapered for Philadelphia. Yes. And she told me about her process, and I was like, that's really cool. I'm going to try it. So, but yeah, you pick up these little tidbits from some of these elites on just what makes them a little bit different.
Wow.
Beyond the fact that their legs go a lot faster than mine do.
That's a major component, but you know, they work. Their lives are actually very boring. It is run, eat, and recover. That's their day.
Sure.
That's their life. Right. They're getting paid to run fast. So it's not like they're out there like, oh, after I run, I'm going to go do stuff. No, because that's wasting their energy.
Right, because you have to recover.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Especially people who are doing double runs. You know, if you run in the morning and the evening to get in your miles.
You got a nap.
You got a nap for a good chunk of the day.
I met with Ryan Hall in San Diego about a year and a half ago. And I was like, hey, what's a good time for you? He's like, I got a meeting from 12 to 2. Let's meet at 2. Great. So we meet in the lobby of the Western Gas Chamber. I was like, how was your meeting? Who'd you meet with? He's like, what? He's kind of out of it. I'm like, how was your meeting? It's my nap. I call it a meeting.
Okay, that's...
I like that.
12 to 2, every day, Ryan Hall has a meeting with nap.
And that works. Well, that's what we have to do when we do 2 shows in a day when we record. True.
Yeah, I'm going to start booking that in my schedule, actually. We got to book that nap. In the show schedule.
That'll make a big difference.
I actually nap in between podcasts. It's like a 6-day nap.
It's like a 6-day, 6.5-day nap.
Which is why I'm so fast.
You are. You're very fast on the show. How did you pick up running?
I was a sophomore in college, put on the freshman 15 at Penn State.
Nice.
My girlfriend in college, her father was a runner. And he said, Chris, why don't you come out for a run with me?
Saved your life.
There you go. That. Forever grateful.
Was it love at first sight with the running?
Took some time. And then my senior year, my oldest brother and I decided to run the Philadelphia Marathon, 2000. And that was when everything changed. So we finished, and then we looked at each other and like, that was amazing. We're crying. Let's do one in every state. And that was 17 years ago.
And how many you got done?
Alabama will be 24. We're taking our time.
Yeah, oh, you're doing it together?
Oh, every state together. Wow, absolutely.
That's incredible.
Absolutely.
Wow.
He older or younger than you?
He's older.
Okay.
We pulled off quite a stunt last April. I don't know if you guys heard about this one.
I may have read about it in a major running publication.
If you haven't heard
the
story,
one of the many,
prepare to be totally bummed out about your own life. Go ahead.
Don't ever buy a birthday present or throw a party for anyone ever.
Don't ever
again.
Try to do anything for anyone ever.
Go
ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
It's quite a setup. This took 1 year. And the one thing you should know as a runner, though, the best ideas come when you're running. So the idea came to me on a track. And I cut my track workout short. I ran home to tell my wife. I was like, "This, what do you think?" She must hear 10 different ideas all the time. And most of the time, she's like, that's the stupidest thing you ever said. This one, she paused. I was like, I know it. This is good. So John and I, pick a marathon about 6 months out. And I had to sort of force him to pick Raleigh, the rock and roll Raleigh, where there's no Weston. So we would just go for another guy's weekend, which is what they've become. And then about like 4 weeks out, I was like, hey, just so you know, CBS is going to be there. They want to do a story on us, which wasn't that far out of the realm of possibility because of my job. He's like, no problem. It's like, Runner's World might be there, like on a motorcycle in front of us. Again,
not
kind of
really,
normal to him. Yeah. He's like, all right, didn't blink an eye. Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm blowing this. Does he know what's going on? He's oblivious. The whole thing, awesome. That was just perfect. So we get to Raleigh, and we're staying at his buddy's house because there's no Weston there. And about 2 miles away is a raucous Irish Catholic kegger going on with everybody who flew in. And they're like sending me these pictures. I'm like, dude, you guys got to stop sending me these pictures. They are just getting obliterated.
How wide a net did you cast for this thing?
This is wide.
How many people showed
up? We had at least 32 people fly in. One flew in from Vancouver.
Wow. So this is really your brother's entire life.
It's a life reunion. That's
what was happening. And they were getting after it. I was like, dude, you guys have to make your miles tomorrow. Like, calm down. I mean, they partied so freaking hard.
And none of them reached out. None of them made the...
To John?
Yeah.
Oh, I was militant in my emails to them.
So awesome.
Really, really protective. And then, but the other thing, I mean, to pull this off, Rock and Roll was very helpful. I mean, they really helped logistically put this thing together with me and made sure that everybody got to the finish line at the end too. So anyway, the race, we get to the start line.
How was the weather?
Perfect.
Great.
And his goal was to run a 3:20. And I'm in like, well, I'm not in that great a shape because I knew we weren't really going to race. Mm-hmm. And they start singing the Star Spangled Banner and I start to cry. And he's like the 6'5" Navy guy. And he looks over, he's like, Mitty. My family calls me Mitty. He's like, what the hell's the matter with you? I was like, I'm really emotional right now.
I just love being with you, bro.
Because I knew at that moment.
You knew what it was.
We pulled it off. Yeah. I knew. I looked at him. I was like, he has no. I wanted to look at him right then. I knew in my head, you have these pictures in your head. That was the moment I realized he doesn't know. So we run the first mile. And then the first mile gets there. And our cousin pops out dressed up as Fletch, who just turned 40. And you see John all with a motorcycle in front of us looking at him. He's like, holy shit, Fletch. Whoa! And you see us on camera. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he looks at me and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now because is he going to put everything together yet? So he looks at me. He's like, Mitty, did you know about this? I'm like, I didn't. Why would I know he's going to be here? So then John starts to go like Navy mode. He's like, how did I see you at the start line? Like, you're running too fast. You got to pull back. You're running afro. Tim's like, just shut up, man. We'll run this mile together. Let's just have fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then we get to mile 2 and our cousin pulls back and our sister pops out behind a telephone pole and she's wearing this Don Mattingly jersey because John idolized Don Mattingly growing up. And then he's like, Katie, what are you doing here? And now and he's got these white Oakleys on right. And he's, you know, and I'm looking at him, I was like, does he get it yet? And now his wheels are going like this because his birthday's a month later and we're about halfway through mile 2 and he's like, we're not running 3:20 today, are we? I was like, we're not running 3:20 today, buddy. And he's kind of quiet. And then we make this turn to mile 3 and his college roommate is in their UVA rowing outfit, which is too tight for him. And he's so just jogging great. In place.
How old is he? What birthday is he turning?
39. Oh, this is turning 40. Okay. This is that number, right?
Okay.
And that's when his head just sort of exploded. So it was 26 miles of his life. The two that really to this day will get me a little... You know, just I can see it was so. He does a lot for Challenge Athletes Foundation, and my little brother Timmy, who's never run a mile in his life, he's like tatted up, beard. Everybody had to run a mile. That was the point. You can't walk.
Oh, so it's not you just show up and wave.
If you sign up for a spot on the course, you have to run. Mm-hmm. You can run a 15-minute mile. I don't care. My dad was like a 16-minute. Doesn't matter. You got to move your legs. So that was the part that was kind of cool. Like my little brother had to train to run a mile. Mm-hmm. So we run 13 with his about quarter mile to go, and we tell John, you don't know your next guest. And he's like, what do you mean? We're like, you never met him. It's like, what? And we're like, what do you, you know, think about your life, like what's really important to you?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know where you're going with this one, guys. We turn this corner and he sees this guy with a prosthetic on his leg.
Oh.
And just put his head down and there was not a dry eye. I mean, that was just that moment where you're like, this is your life, man. Like he was fairly emotional about turning 40 and I think he was putting a lot of identity on his success and I was like, you're missing the point, bro. Like
right.
Look who's here today. Right. This is what identifies you. Everyone's here to say thank you to you and happy birthday.
Wow.
And then the guy threw down a 6:30 mile.
Holy crap.
That was amazing. That was pretty awesome.
Wow.
And then everybody at the finish line was there and they played their wedding song.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the day. It was great.
So, yeah. So, if you're listening to this, just send a card.
Well, if you want to hire Chris to organize a birthday party, he's available.
Yeah.
No, I'm not, actually. don't reach out through Twitter for that, actually.
Just buy a gift card for all your friends, because that's all you can do, because you can't touch that.
Well, if there's ever a better advertisement for running,
right?
If you can come up with that idea and pull it off... There it is right there.
Well, I mean, marathons by nature are very emotional anyway. Like, you get in touch with yourself during the training. You're in touch with yourself on race day. every single mile you're re-identifying with stuff, you're doing all that work, you know, physical, mental. So to have this extra layer of, this is your life, here you go.
Yeah. He said it was the only marathon he ever wanted to end.
Right.
And just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, and it was the, for me, it was slow motion. Because it was a year of planning, so I knew it was coming next every time.
That's the best. You had the best seat.
I did.
You had the best seat.
I was selfish about that. I was like, I'm taking this.
No, your work was getting to that moment of the start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's all you had to do, and that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And then the rest of it's just gravy.
Oh, it was amazing. At 25, I dissed him because that was his wife. I said, it's not my job to take you in, and I'm not letting you beat me today.
Oh, that's
so, I'm out.
So good. That's so good.
Yeah.
Wowzers. Yay! That's a great story.
Thanks.
What are you going to do for his next birthday? Coffee maker.
Alabama. What do you want to do? You want to go run Alabama? Let's go run Alabama.
Yeah, you still have to run all the rest of
the
states.
That's the fun part, you know? Yeah. Like, we didn't realize at the time how much we'd appreciate the tradition 17 years later. You know, we both have two kids and we work, and having that one or two weekends a year where you know it's just your wives say, yep, we get it.
Yeah.
You can't argue with this one.
Yeah.
Go run. It's pretty special.
Are you in the best physical shape of your life now?
Close to it. Really close to it. 5 years ago when I trained for New York at this time, I was probably in, it's a really good question, probably in better physical shape.
Yeah.
But I was a mental idiot.
So you weren't mature in the mental game.
I was a selfish prick, to be honest. I mean, really that I trained for 1 year to really give New York a go and see what I could do, what I was made of. And
at the expense of everything else in your life.
Oh, I was a complete dick.
Yeah.
I mean, I give my wife a ton of credit, my son who was 6 months old a ton of credit. Anybody who knew me.
That's a hard time, man.
Dude, I was a dick.
That's a hard time.
But it was like, well, I'm trying to think about the rationale. Like, that was 10 years and maybe 12 years into my running career. It's like, I haven't really done that PR race yet. Mm-hmm. I'm going all in.
Yeah.
And I didn't give Rachel a chance, my wife, to really disagree with me because I was in that mindset.
Right.
And physically, I really was well on pace to do what I wanted to do. But the flaw of the day was I was a mental shit show. I mean, I collapsed mentally. Collapsed after my one at mile 18. I hit the wrong pace and everything just went.
Oh man.
And my story didn't play out the way I thought it was going to be. And I was a joke. But the flip side, the takeaway from me was at the finish line. My wife said, don't stop at the finish. Just whatever you do, just go
keep
through.
Going. Yep.
By that point, I already lost. I was like, I'm going to find my wife. I want to see my son, Shane.
Yeah.
So there's like 200 meters to go, and I'm really looking for, and I finally hear my father-in-law say, Chris. So I look over, and there's Shane, and my wife's bawling her eyes out because, you know, I completely missed my goal, and, you know, my son has no clue what's going on. So I go over, and she said, do you want Shane? I was like, yeah, actually, I do. So she reached him over the fence, and it was, to this day, the only out-of-body experience I've ever experienced. And I just collapsed on the ground with him in my arms and everything went white.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit me that time, but in hindsight, that was the perfect way to remind me that the time on the clock did not mean jack squat.
Doesn't mean anything.
That guy, that my son, that's what identifies me.
Right.
And somehow I completely mix those two up. That what identifies me is a stupid time on a clock, not how good of a dad or how good of a husband I am.
Right. Wow, that's a big one.
So right now,
yeah,
I think I'm in much better mental
probably
shape.
Probably in better shape.
Probably not as good as physical shape, but I do think the mental is going to hopefully give me the PR I want in December.
Wow. And that's your next big one, December.
I have not gone for a PR since that race in New York.
Yeah, it's 5 years ago, you said.
Yeah, it's taken a long time to get over that one.
No.
Like you said, man, marathons are, they really, I think everybody should go for it. They should pick one race and say, you know what, I'm going to give it my all. You know, Kelly Roberts just tried that in Chicago, and I spoke to her a lot about this. And there were some times where she had this doubt, and I said, doubt's fine. As long as you stay true to who you are, and you don't diss your family, your friends, all these people who are supporting you, and you really own who you are, which she did, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're going to do great. And she did it beautifully.
Wow. Brian?
Well, I'm in the middle of marathon training right now.
I know you are.
I've dissed everyone. I'm living in the woodshed in the back of my house.
I don't believe you.
No, I'm not.
All right, Fio, I was about to punch him.
You're actually doing fine. You're in a much better place than you were 2 years ago when we were training for Boston.
You should have talked to me during my half marathon this past weekend.
You did
Which
fine.
One?
Mount Desert Island half.
Okay.
And I did exactly what I should have done numbers-wise.
Uh-huh.
And considering the hilliness of the course. I knew I wasn't going to PR. And then when I didn't PR, I was a little ticked off at myself. It was just not, I don't know why. Like, you know, you set yourself up. You say, I'm going to do exactly this. I'm going to follow this course. I'm going to run this pace. And I know where the race is going to be difficult. And I did exactly what I thought, what I said I was going to do. But I thought because I had been training really hard and really well that I would surprise myself and do better than I thought I would.
How many goals did you have for the race?
Really, the only goal was to come in under 2 hours. Because what I'm looking to do is, this is going to be my second marathon. My first one was 4:05. That was Boston. Mm-hmm. And all I want to do is break 4 hours. But it's...
give yourself sub-goals, a B and a C goal. Because you have to have small wins, man.
Yeah. It should have been. I had myself all set up with all of that.
It sounds like you didn't. You said I only had one goal.
Like with Millinocket.
Yeah.
First win. Let's get to Millinocket.
That's a good goal.
Arriving.
On time.
Show up.
The other goal is I do want to do sub-4, but who knows? No, and realistically, because I didn't know that course, I didn't taper for the race at all. This was just a long run in the middle of my run. I should have never had PR in my mind, but it just sits there sneaking in the back of your mind.
Yeah, but you got to know when to cut it.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
And I didn't.
Like, what? Is it mile 6 that you drop that? Is it mile, whatever, I mean, in a half, maybe it's mile right. 5 or 6, you drop that.
And you're saying, all right, this is going to be a hard tempo run because my major race is December
10th. And that's what it was. That's what it was supposed to be, was a hard tempo
run. Hard tempo runs are not PR runs.
I know.
Meb had 3 goals when he won 2000, when he run Boston.
Mm-hmm.
3 goals were podium, sub 208, or 208, or win, ABC.
Mm-hmm.
He happened to take all 3. But he would have been just fine if he had a 208 that day.
Right.
And probably just fine. He took 3rd or 2nd.
Right.
It just so happens that the guy knocked out of the park and won.
Well, and I was going to say, how many times in your life do you hit all 3 goals? Not many.
No, but having a B or C goal, I mean, I've had that, and I'm like, all right, a B goal here is to have a negative split, or a B goal here is to mentally get over that hurdle. If it starts to hurt, run the next 2 miles hard. And if I get those, I'm like, all right, that was my goal. I really got it. This is a mental win for me today.
Right. Well, and it is too difficult to have one goal because all these races are long, and you're just cycling. You're mentally cycling over and over and over again.
You have a lot of room for error in a marathon, as opposed to a 5K.
Right.
5K, you go out 10 seconds too fast, you just blew your race.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Marathon, you got 10 seconds too fast, you can hopefully make that up, right? That's, I think, the beauty of a marathon. You can turn it over. And you can go to some dark spots and get back in the positive. And
if you look at his numbers for Boston, he had an atrocious first half.
Huh.
You had an atrocious first 7 miles anyway, for
sure. Well, how would you define atrocious? Time?
So slow.
Hmm.
Just jammed up. First 3 miles jammed up because of people.
Were you stressed?
No.
No, I was doing the thing that everyone said, which is run slow, don't pass anybody.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then you turned it on, heartbreak on.
And I had all the energy.
Probably at the firehouse. You were like...
Yeah, and I had energy left. Now, right. I ran the pace I was supposed to. None of those steps were even easy at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was not gliding along, but I did hit my
goals.
Good
for you.
But the numbers bear it out. You watch your splits, and it's pretty intense what you did.
I think my biggest frustration was finishing the half marathon at this point in my training and coming in where I did, which was 1:58 under 2, and not feeling like I could then continue and run even more.
Mm.
And, of course, coming in at a half marathon mentally – you don't want to run anymore. Mm-hmm. You've done it. But, you know, I thought I'd really like to come out and feel like I could just keep going because that's what I'm going to be doing in 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it is. That was just my frustration. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful course. It's really for a small, it's not even that small. There are almost 2,000 runners. There's a marathon and a half marathon. And it's a beautiful course. I would do that one again.
What's your ideal distance now when you're just running for you?
Like to race or just on a daily?
Just daily.
About 10 right now. 10 easy.
But is that because you have an eye towards your December 10th?
Absolutely.
But okay, past that though. Now that you're on the side of that, is a 6.
I can't wait. Yeah, 6 miles, 5 miles, 4 days a week, more lifting. I want to get stronger. But more in the world of what I feel like running as opposed to what my plan has me running.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's the one part of marathon training that I sort of miss about running, that it does become not monotonous, but strict, and you have to do it.
Yeah, prescribed. Like you
prescribed. That's the word I was looking for.
You have to do this.
You should have a podcast. Yeah, prescribed.
You know, I'm going to think about that. Words with Friends.
That's actually a really good idea for like an app. Words with Friends?
It's too late.
Oh. Sorry.
It's too late. Running with Friends. Running, that was the original title of the show. But no one would run with us.
We're not even friends.
We're not even really friends. It's not why you're a marathon training.
Just he owned the mic and I had the mixing board and that's
awesome.
That's why we're doing it.
I like the idea of sub goals though. Like for me, it'd be make it to the city that you're going to run in. That's really the biggest one.
And then write them down.
And write them down. Yeah, that's no joke. And I did that for Boston. I wrote what I thought my half would be and I thought what my full would be. And I, based on how my long runs and trainings had gone, and I was pretty close.
It's fun to get that little.
It's fun to
get that piece of paper and you go, nailed it.
Nailed it.
There's something really powerful about that.
No, I actually did set three goals for Millinocket Marathon, which were finish under 4 hours, uninjured. Finish uninjured, and then finish.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think those are all good.
Yeah, I do too.
I would
still add a few more that don't revolve around the time or the run. Like I usually have one in there, like high five 10 kids.
Well, finish didn't have anything to do with the time.
Yeah, but it's still an outcome goal.
That's true.
So what I mean is like an outside the outcome goal. Like thank five volunteers. Like,
and meet five people along the
like
way.
Like a journey goal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something that happens, not as a destination of it.
You got it. Throw one cup in a trash can.
Nice.
Like hit the trash can.
Yep.
That's a fun one. Think outside the box a little bit. It just makes the day more experiential.
I actually hit more trash cans than I ever did in this last race.
So you've already done it, see? If you had written that
Steph
down.
Steph Curry, bro.
Drain your threes, Brian. Drain your threes.
Has he changed?
No, he's been fine. I'm the problem because I'm the guy with Achilles tendonitis and been out 12 weeks. So I'm the guy who went into a pit of just pain and nastiness and talk about self-doubt. Like just crazy. Not to mention, it's like a taper for a marathon I'm not having.
So what are you doing to supplement?
It's a non-marathon taper. Not doing much. I walk and I do a little elliptical, but I'm not doing anything I should be. I should be in a pool every day.
I was going to say swim and go help.
I know. I just don't like being wet. And I know that sounds silly. Like I love a shower, but I'm not a tub kid. That's not what I do. So I don't love swimming. And I don't love chlorine. So no, it's awful. And I really, really, really like running.
You have a podcast
about it. So much
that
we started a show, Brian.
Have you tried shock therapy to it?
No, they haven't gone there yet.
But you're in PT.
Yeah, he's
PT.
On the plan.
I'm really just, and it's so much better.
I know. That's a doozy. It's like PF. It's like plantar fasciitis. It's those ones that they just linger.
They just linger.
And the only piece of advice I can give, PF put me out for 1 year.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally 1 year.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And it's tough to see the big picture when you're injured, which is I'm going to be running again. I will get there again. Right now it sucks.
On top of every day,
yeah,
you think, oh, my feet are going to hit the floor and I'm going to be better.
Uh-huh.
And you can have really cranky days. Like mm-hmm. you can hit the floor and be like, wow, it still really hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts way more than it should. Or during the part of the day, it reminds you, by the way, this still hurts. And it just mentally takes you down to a place.
You are spot on.
So, but I know only
how about
way
reading? You're reading books?
I'm not really reading much. I probably should read.
That's another way to get some of the rush in or go volunteer to race. That's another suggestion.
I should do that. Well, I mean, going to yours will help. But the thing that we talked about in other shows is it's really hard to go to races when you're not running.
It's the worst spectator sport in the freaking world.
It's really hard.
Is. All you want to do is jump down and run along with them all.
No, but if you're not a runner,
if you're not a runner,
it's so stressful.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know why.
Am I
going
to see the person?
Yeah.
Do they want me to take a picture? Do I hold a sign?
Right.
What do they need?
Right.
And we suck on race weekends.
Yeah, we're not good.
We're not there.
We're not good.
So anything that they do, they ask questions like, "I can't deal with your question right now. Just make sure you're mile 18 with my goo." You're right. Yeah, like
I can't worry about you. Have to figure that out.
You get to mile 18.
I don't know where you're going to park.
Here's my freaking goo, okay? And you can just drop me off at the start line. I'm coffee tapering. It's tough.
See?
But as a runner going to a race, now I went to a race a couple weeks ago that I was signed up for, couldn't do it. And
that stinks.
My girlfriend did it, and it was great because then I was her pit crew, right? I had a job.
Mm.
But the minute she took off at the starting gun, I was totally depressed. I was like, that's awesome. And it was a beautiful course. beautiful course.
I would try to flip it. I mean, if I know. I would. I'd be like, I'm going to be the best freaking spectator for you, girlfriend. I'm going to be there. I'm gonna have your bag for you when you go through there. I'm going to have a wet sponge to put on your head if you're hot. Like, just own the best spectator award.
She might say I did okay.
But hey, I mean, you guys are good. Maine?
She might. Maine, I'm all over it for you.
See?
Maine. Yeah. I'm all over it.
He's going to like map out the course.
I'm not even going to be there. I'm going to be eating pancakes. With real maple syrup.
You're not going to stand around watching the marathon.
I have sub goals. Real maple syrup. Sub goal, bacon. That's right. Sub goal, French toast as well.
Moose bacon.
Dress like a moose.
It's going
to
be good.
Do you think they have poutine up there? Is it close enough to the border?
It's pretty close to the border.
I just had poutine in Montreal about a month ago. How's lobster Westin, poutine.
How's the Westin in Montreal?
That one's Le Westin Montreal.
Beautiful. Is it Le Westin? Beautiful. Masculine, not feminine. Le.
Correct. And we have a great run concierge team there.
Talk to us about what happens if you forget your running gear and you're staying at a Westin.
Well, you are. That's like a softball.
I know the answer, but I've never actually taken Westin up on it.
And I don't know the answer because I don't prep for these things at all.
The answer is Westin has gear lending where you can rent shoes for $5 that come with shorts and a shirt, and you get to keep the socks. Now, most people would think to themselves, why would I forget my shoes on a race weekend? And you're 100% right. It's the rare time when your suitcase gets lost and you do not wear your race shoes and you don't have running shoes because they're in your suitcase that this service is really helpful. The other one is typically for females who just don't like to pack running shoes because it takes up too much space.
Wow.
New Balance. We change it every year. It's updated shoes every year.
Now, what happens to the shoes that get rented? They get returned. Are those shoes like in circulation like bowling shoes, or can I take them?
You cannot take them. We've replaced the insoles in every single shoe. So we don't spray the shoe like bowling style. Yeah. We just take it. We put new insoles in every single one.
What if someone goes for a real muddy, muddy run in or something nasty?
I'm guessing our house cleaning service will take care of that shoe and clean it.
All right. That's pretty good. That's a really good idea.
Gear lending, yeah. Yep.
Wow.
A great idea. I'll tell you, I do wear my, this was a, I don't know where I got this tip from, some runner or in a book somewhere, is that I wear my running sneakers on the plane. That way I know I have them.
You know it, right? Yeah. My brother does that. I do not. I
would not.
I
do
put
that
in my suitcase.
I like to wear slip-ons because I like to get them on easy, you know, easy off, easy on for security.
Right.
I also like to kick them off in flight because of the whole, like...
Well, I find my sneakers pretty comfortable in the flight.
I think they're very comfortable. But for me, it's even more mental. Like, those are like my race day shoes.
Those are race day shoes.
And I'm going to take them out on race day. Put them on my feet. If I'm wearing them on an airplane, I'm like, I'm sorry, race shoes. I'm doing a disservice today. Like, I wrote my finishing time on the back of you, and now I'm just wearing it on an airplane.
Fascinating. Wait a minute. Hold on. Are you saying you don't wear your race shoes any other time, though? You must. You got to break them in.
Not by much.
You don't do long run in them?
I mean, I wear these shoes.
Yeah, those shoes.
I'll get the same version of this shoe, and I might have 5 to 10 miles on it.
Wow. I would never do that. I would never do that, Chris. Wow. And with all my vast experience, I would never do that.
I know it's I might buy two of the same shoes. Well, so
some people get blisters with new shoes.
Yep.
I'm not a blister guy. I don't care.
Doesn't matter. I'd be freaked out because every shoe's a little different, I feel.
And Jared Ward supports this for what it's worth.
Jared
Ward only has 3 to 5 miles on his race day shoes because he wants as much cushioning as he can get on those shoes.
This is very controversial. I love this. This is exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, I find that I...
Wait, did you hear the internet break? The internet broke, Brian. There it goes.
I would really be concerned about...
I am cooked.
Little calf pain,
You're going to get calf pain no matter what in a marathon.
Hey, that's a good point.
You are. So if I can get a little more... If I'm going to get a little more cushioning in my shoe because I only wore them for 5 to 10 miles, I'm going to take that cushioning.
I would be lucky if I only got calf pain. That'd be amazing.
Well, some people, you know, that's the defense. Well, I might get this. I might get blisters. I'm probably going to get blisters on my race day. I'm probably going to get tight calves. My butt might hurt for a little bit, but I'm going to get through it because it's a marathon race day.
Yeah, you're running a marathon. You're going to be in pain for a lot of that run.
I got to say, though, the only year we did Boston, it poured the whole race.
What year?
Not this past, but 2015.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
And it was headwind the whole way. But thanks to Body Glide.
On your feet.
I didn't get one blister.
I don't put Body Glide on my feet.
You should. Pre-sock. It's amazing.
I don't either. Thing.
Why not?
Slips around too.
I don't get blisters.
It doesn't. You know what? Okay, that's the beauty of the sport. It's very individual.
Chris, brand new sneakers.
No Body Glide on the feet.
Caffeine taper.
It's unbelievable.
What's the third thing I've never done before that I should do before this race?
Organize the perfect birthday party for me.
New run goals. Okay, so I need one more.
Yeah, you do need new. One more would be good.
Were you an athlete before you became a runner?
Great question.
Not really active. I mean,
you were a mathlete.
I was never a mathlete. I played ultimate frisbee.
Okay.
So I was a short distances.
But you're on a team. So,
but hold on. I'll tell you, I never ran more than a mile.
That's beside the point, okay, though.
That's not what he asked. You need to listen
before
to the question.
Before you played your ultimate frisbee games, mm-hmm, did you guys have drills, a routine that you guys had?
Nope.
You just went out and played?
No, warmed up.
How would you warm up?
I'm with
throwing
you,
throwing the disc back
that's
and
it
forth.
But you I had mean, that was a routine, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. What does Steph Curry do when he plays a game of basketball? Do you know what he does before every game?
He probably warms up.
It's unbelievable how much he warms up the exact same way every time. Ray Allen is the same way.
Ritualistic.
It is the same routine every single time. Mm. So what I see on the road every single time I go to a marathon is this lack of routine that makes runners go stir crazy. Oh my God, I'm in a crowd now. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What you do is what you've practiced. So the third thing I'll tell you to do is have a 5-minute practice routine that you will do in the corral that brings you right back to where you've done all those long runs that you practiced, and you're back home. Your heart rate goes back down. Nothing around you is new.
Well, that's interesting.
Right.
Because I would use the same playlist, for example, for all my big runs, mm-hmm, to prep me. Mm-hmm. And that's always the same.
So that's audio, yes, which is great. I would say physically, though, because the adrenaline, the buzz of a corral before a race can really throw you off. And when I see these elites coming in, mm-hmm, to do theirs, they're doing the same thing that they do before every single run. The amateur runner, they're like in La La Land.
Oh, deer in the headlights. Don't know what's going
on. And they're scared, and they try to do like these calf stretches that I'm sure they've never done before.
Who's doing static stretches before? No one. Right.
But then all of a sudden they decide to do them because they don't know what to do with their body. And now maybe they did something a little bit different, right, that might throw them off at mile two.
Right.
So my third thing for you, start practicing now.
Okay.
What that routine looks like on December 10th.
So I think what that looks like, and especially I'm thinking the corral, is going to be about 12 to 20 burpees with a primal scream in between each one.
If that's what you want to do.
It's going to move people away. I'm going to have my space, and I'll be ready to go.
That's fine. But think of dynamic warm-ups with that. That's great. And it really draws a lot of attention to you. And I'm sure BG and Bullion would be like, fuck yeah, I'm so proud of that guy right now.
That's literally what they would say.
I know. That's why I just impersonated them right now. But I don't think you want to isolate yourself too much.
No, but literally, it probably... I have started doing a mile warm-up beforehand, which really slow. Mm-hmm. But what that... The thing I hate about the early morning... And this is for every race except, you know, a summer race. It's usually cooler out. Mm-hmm. I run hot, so I like to just run in shirt and shorts. But when you're standing around and you're cold before a race...
Sure.
You know, what... And I've done that. I've accidentally put on the tech shirt, the long sleeve tech shirt. It's like, I really didn't need that after the first half mile.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
yeah.
I do my 1 mile warm up really slow. Then I can take everything off. I'm ready to go. But it's not, there's no routine in that.
I mean, really think through it. Yeah. For me personally, I got two little rubber bands that I'll have on my wrist for my kids. Mm-hmm. And it could be just a minute for each kid just to reflect, mm-hmm, close my eyes. And all I'm trying to do right now is just to bring my stress level down, to reassure myself this is where I wanted to be. This is the fun part. This is the celebration of my hard work. This is for Shane. This is for Brooke. This is for my wife. Gun goes off, you go. And I'm not going to be distracted or caught up with all the adrenaline going on beside me, which some people might say you're not present. I actually disagree. It makes me so
present.
No,
you were already present. You actually are present before everybody else, for yourself.
So, try it. But practice now.
Right.
Get in the habit now before that long run. We just take that 3 minutes to just kind of get your heart rate down, breathe a little bit. When your GPS is getting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's your chance. Close your eyes. Start to visualize where you're going to go.
And if it were my GPS, it would be 10 minutes longer because mine never catches. I don't know why. Speaking of that, would the Westin be interested in providing GPSs for people?
We are in some talks with a couple watches.
Okay, just thought it, put them out there.
The best defense I've heard is a runner on the road, the last thing you want to do is figure out how to use a new watch.
A brand new watch, yeah.
And most runners do travel or wear their watch.
This is why I'm not a millionaire. right there, because I have a germ of an idea, but it's contagiously gross.
Nope. No, it's sound.
It'll kill you. No, it won't kill
that
you.
That simple. That watch has to be so simple. It's not going to kill. It's not a germ. Come on. Don't beat yourself up like that.
My self-talk's for crap today. I got nothing. I do a little prayer circle for myself.
Drum circle.
I psych myself up. It's like theater. Like I do a little, you know, like that we do it for the PTO play, Brian.
Do you do a little improv with yourself?
No, I don't improv so much, but I go through a thing where I psych myself up. I wake every part of myself up. I get focused. Mm-hmm. I start from, you know, head, you know, mm-hmm. head, shoulders, knees, toes, that whole thing, whatever you want to do. And you just get it going. You know, vibrate, do a jump.
I like it.
You got to find. You got to get your blood.
What's
going.
Your mantra?
Yeah, what's your mantra, man?
Mine is. I have a few. The one I like is from Haruki Murakami, who stole it from somebody else. Which is, and this is late in the race. Which is, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional, mm-hmm. and that really helps. Believe it or not. And the other one is run like a wheel.
Hmm.
That just helps me to remember about my form.
Hmm.
That is good.
That's good.
How about you? What's your mantra?
It changes. It evolves. Dina Castor has played a big part in spinning everything to positive mindset. Mine is keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, keep moving. You have an awful mile. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Number two is run to win, which is Mebs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever win is has to have where you can define it. And then the third one is a little cheesy, but it's to be a better runner, you have to be a better person first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes when you're caught up in the race.
I don't think that's cheesy because we've already showed examples of
but
being a crappy person.
I guess in race mode, though. Yeah. You might not think that that's important when you're racing, but I actually think it is. I think when we get in that race mindset, we can come outside of ourselves and not be the person we want to be. And we might cut somebody off or get really short-tempered if somebody cuts us off and take that step back to be a better runner. You want to be a better person first. Mm-hmm. It's karma. It'll come back.
Yeah.
Stay true to yourself and just mm-hmm. keep running.
That's a good one. I think mine's stay up. Like literally, like stay up. No, stay upright. Yes. From a very
vertical.
Basic. No, but stay vertical. No, but stay up positively figurative. Because I can spin out and that there's a ridiculousness to the whole thing anyway, that we're all individually ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And so en masse, we're even more ridiculous, which mm-hmm. is fun as hell. Mm-hmm. So it's that idea of tap into the ridiculousness of it.
You, because of that, I would love for you to meet Dina.
All right.
I did a retreat with her in Mammoth this past summer. So that's like another trip, another weekend. And her positive mindset is like nothing I've ever experienced. She gets it from her coach, her old coach, Joe Vigil, who's the man. Mm-hmm. He's the one who made turn me on to want to be a better person, be a better runner, be a better person okay. first. She can take any negative thought you had and just, like, whoa, how'd you just do that?
Right, right.
It's amazing.
Except I'll tell you, though, it changes from race to race because I ran the BAA 10K.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did.
And that was, I don't even remember the time. That's how much fun mm-hmm. I was having. I was high-fiving everybody as I was
going
around.
That was a good race. That was a good race.
Very, very hot.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I felt great. It didn't affect me at all. And so people were really suffering through it, and I was bucking people up and talking to them and high-fiving everybody at the water stands and mm-hmm. everything, and that was really just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes from race to race. It's really how you approach it, and I just did not approach this last race properly, I guess. Physically, I did. Mentally, emotionally, I didn't prepare myself for it.
See, Dina would flip that.
Yeah.
It didn't right embrace around. The approach the race properly.
Well, now I have an opportunity to do it a better way.
Yeah. What did you learn? You know, what you learned, what your takeaway was.
I definitely learned a lot.
Then I actually think you did approach it properly mm-hmm. because if you finish a race and you learn something more about yourself, that's a win no matter what.
Right.
So you can try to beat yourself up after a race and call yourself a hack and I didn't do this. It's all BS because you finish the race and no matter what, there's a takeaway, at least one takeaway.
Absolutely.
We learned that from Amy Moritz. You know, you got to have your bad races. If you don't have your bad races, you're nothing. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she gave us the best line, which was all your best stories come from your bad experiences and your failures.
And I call it the framework of failure. That's what mm-hmm. we talked about on a previous show. Oh. Like, you need to be able to look at this whole thing in the framework of failure and see the good in it and take it, learn from it. And it sounds like... Yeah. I think you had a great week. I don't know what
I did, and I looked at my finishings, and I'm like, oh, I made it in, you know, 50% of all my categories, which never happens. So all of it was good except my attitude at the end. So okay. That's all.
After New York 5 years ago, the first guy I saw was my best friend. It was a D1 soccer player and knew me the whole year. Mm. His first line was, "You're not going to understand this right now, but I'm really glad you failed today."
Right.
And I looked at him with death eyes. I'm like, I want to cry my eyes out, and you're coming at me like, what is this? Because I was still in that narcissistic, selfish, tunnel vision mode. 2 years of therapy later, I was like, that was ingenious.
Right, because if you had been successful, if you had nothing crushed would have it, changed.
You would have gotten so much worse.
I'm a dick. Right. I'm going to be a selfish prick. Rach, thanks for sticking by me. That was a great time, right? We all had a good time this year. Great. All right, awesome. I nailed my goal. What's next?
Peace out. I'm going to Hawaii.
Bingo. You take care of Shane for the next 6 months.
I'm in Fiji.
I'm going to go train altitude for a little bit to get even better.
Right.
You know, and I do think that the failure of that race has shaped who I am as a running coach, as a runner, in my job now. Without a doubt.
Beautiful. That's right. That, no question. So you just needed me to hand our infant son to you during your half marathon, and you would have been fine. You would have learned a lot. You idiot. Figure it out.
Get it together, Brian.
Note to self, get a baby from Millinocket.
Come on, you baby. Yeah. Yep. Just, perfect.
For only for 5 minutes. Yeah. He's going to pass out right after I give it to him.
I'll hold anybody's baby.
Chris, will you come back and chat with us after you've done your big race?
Only if we can have another microphone with somebody else in the room.
Absolutely.
I think we can do that.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I'd want to think about it. It'd be a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
Maybe my brother, John.
Okay.
That'd be fun. Or we got to see what time of year it is. Because it's Boston. Dina's going to be here.
Yeah, not Brogan and Boyan.
They are the worst.
They're the worst.
Like when you guys interview them, were they just bouncing up and down like gummy bears the whole time?
We were standing up the whole time.
Oh, okay.
We were standing up the whole time. It was right after a stadium workout.
We were literally under the stairs.
And we actually didn't give Brogan a mic for about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Which proved to be the right call.
Right.
No, they were terrific, and they were very generous with their time with us, and they've been nothing but supportive. Mm-hmm. But no, let's not have them.
And talk about positive energy.
Oh my God, too much. Well, too much.
Talk about taking
cut it out.
Negative.
Next time we talk, remind me to tell you the Brogan Graham story when I first met him.
That's probably a great way to end it.
Chris, thank you so much. Speaking of being generous with your time, have you thought about changing your name officially to Chris Weston?
I mean, my last name is a pain to spell.
I'm just saying. I've been calling you Chris Weston for the 2 months leading up to this interview.
I have found out that most people have that in their phone.
Right. So do you want to just cut the middleman here?
Yeah, you have to ask my wife and quite frankly my dad. He'd be pretty pissed.
I bet he'd be proud. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Brian, I feel so much better now that we've spoken to Chris Heisler.
Weston. I feel great.
Heisler.
I showed up. It got turned around, upside down. I'm feeling good.
He's giving you some things to think about, my friend.
I have a lot to think about. I have some new goals to set.
Several.
I have some new priorities. And it's all going to be okay.
It is going to be all okay. And that was a great time we did there at the Copley Weston. We want to thank Chris Heisler for coming out.
We do. You know what we should do?
What?
Credits.
You're right.
Hey!
This has been episode 49 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru, and Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. And thank you once again to our very special guest, Chris Heisler.
Weston. Join the show by recording a voice memo with your questions, musings, or rants and emailing it to us at howwasyourruntoday@gmail.com. Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Peter keeps his under a heavenly bed in every Westin hotel. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
And if you love HWIRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and it's easier than coffee tapering. No, seriously. Anything is easier than coffee tapering.
Peter, don't make me coffee taper from Millinocket, please.
For everything else, please check out the new website at hwrt.com.
Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy your brand new Run Weston yellow headband.
I'm going to wear it to physical therapy all week. Do you want to tell it now?
Sure, why not?
I mean, this one's already the longest show. This is great.
Oh, geez. Three months into the job, Weston says, can you feel out this group called November Project?
This new run club?
And I lived in Boston, never heard of it. I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, we had this guy's email. Can you email him and set up a call? Great. So I emailed Brogan Graham, not realizing he was at New Balance at the time. And we set up a call after like a few like one-line emails from him. We get on the phone.
At prodigy.net. Brogan Graham at prodigy.net. I think it was something like that, right? Or so, CompuServe.
I'm like, just started. I'm kind of buttoned up in the role, like new brand guy. I'm really proud of my job. And I say, Brogan, you know, I got my five questions ready that the brand team gave me. I'm just...
You didn't get past the first
one. Oh, my God. Oh, no. God. Oh, I did. Hey, Brogan, I'm Chris with Weston. I was just wondering, could you give me some insight into where you see November Project going over the next 3, 4, 5 years? Such a standard question. World fucking takeover, bro.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. But no, like seriously, like where do you think November Project's going to be? And about 3 seconds go by. World fucking takeover, bro. It was about 10 to 15 minutes of the most condescending conversation I ever had. I couldn't tell if he was serious. Right. Then he's like, dude, just fucking show up. We just show up. Like, show up to a workout.
Like, you don't know if it's a bit. Yes. You don't know if it's a...
Right. Like, if you show up, then you'll see what we're talking about. But until then, this conversation is pointless.
Right, right.
I get off the phone. I email my boss. I was like, stay away. They are so off-brand. Like, we don't want to touch these guys. Like, this guy was so patronizing. Like, what a dick. I honestly don't want to touch this. That's my two cents. Fast forward about 2 months later when I go to my first meeting at New Balance. Yeah. And this is like out of a movie scene. I'm standing at the bottom of the New Balance elevators in my suit. And in comes this 7'8" giant with his bike helmet on and bike shoes.
From Jupiter, yeah.
Bouncing through the hallways. Yeah. And I did my research. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's that guy Brogan I talked to. So we're next to the elevator and he's kind of looking at me. And I was like, are you Brogan? Yeah. And I was like, I'm Chris, that Ron Weston guy. Oh, shit, let's hug it out. So he hugs me this huge sweaty hug and I'm in this suit. I'm like, what? Wait a second. This feels good. What did I miss?
I just want to hold this.
So we go up the elevator and we can't stop talking. And in the meeting, he's calling me out through this. You going to show up, dude? You going to show up? And I'm like, I actually like this guy. I misread this. So if I was like, yeah, I'm going to show up tomorrow.
Oh, verbal.
And he takes a picture of me and he posts it on Twitter. He's like, just got a verbal from Ron Weston. Let's see if he follows up.
Yeah.
So I get out of the meeting. I get all this Twitter. And I'm like, what a jackass.
Oh, you're in now.
So that night's a huge snowstorm. And I email him like, hey, so, let us know.
Just probably not doing this, right?
Are you guys on?
Yeah.
His email back was, don't ever ask me that question again.
Oh, that's the best. You're learning all the rules right up front,
though. So I show up the next morning at 6:30, plowing through the workout in my like Flyers hat. Like I'm kind of bundled up, so he didn't see me. And I'm really trying to impress this dude. Right. But he didn't see me at the start. So I'm like halfway through the stairs, and he finally comes up. He's like, what the fuck is this guy? I was like, what's up? He's like, oh, snap, it's Ron Weston throwing down. And then we became lifelong friends. And it took about a year and a half of me backtracking with Weston, be like, I really, really miss this one.
Right.
These guys really might take over the world. Can we sponsor their summit? And
nice,
we did.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Holy cow.
And now, I mean, we just FaceTimed yesterday. He is a contagious...
He is contagious, yeah.
...friend, and so is Boyne. Boyne's become a very, very great friend of mine. I'm forever grateful for having met them and having the friendship I do with them.
Well, what they're doing is amazing, and they are incredible.
We need more of that.
And they're very generous with their time and their energy, and I would speak to them underneath any stairs anytime.
Mm-hmm.
As would I, and that statement or that... demand, just show up, is that's what it's all about, because you can't understand.
Yeah, it's too hard to explain.
Adult recess is like whatever it is, using the city as your jungle gym, what it's all about until you go. You just got to go and do it.
It's human connection.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I think that is what this world is lacking. My first Huffington Post piece was on just this, that there's so many these lives and phones that really aren't real. And until you force yourself on once a week or whatever basis to be part of a community in person.
Yeah.
You don't really know what you're missing.
No.
There's something very special about just an eye to eye. You hug somebody you don't know, have a great day. Boom. You feel better about yourself. You feel better about the world we're living in.